This is the Decibel Geek Podcast with Aaron Camaro and Chris Sinzak.
Oh yeah, time to get it started. I'm excited. Are you excited? It's time for the Decibel Geek Podcast. I am stoked. We had so much fun last week, and we're going to have even more fun this week. I'm ready to rock and roll. Are you ready to rock and roll?
No.
What's going on over there? What are you?
I'm sick.
Wow.
Man.
Jeez, dude.
I'm sick.
You look awful.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that.
Like worse than usual. Like way worse.
And that's saying something.
Poor guy.
Yeah, I'm not doing well. I think I may have Ebola.
Oh, man. I knew I should have worn my hazmat suit in here. This is going to be a test today, isn't it?
Yeah. No, I don't think I have Ebola, but I've got a massive head cold, and I've been up since 5:30 this morning.
Yeah.
But the show must go on.
The show must go on. You, as terrible as you sound, you know, and that's all right. I've had a couple in the bank where I've been, you know, way out of it myself.
Maybe I've just got rock and roll pneumonia.
And the boogie-woogie flu, man. That's something I don't mind if you pass on.
All right.
All right.
Maybe I'll feel better at the end of this.
So here's what we've got going on today. First off, I want to say thank you to everybody that checked us out during Rocktoberfest last week. Man, we had a lot of fun with that. Got to discover some great hard rock and heavy metal from Germany, from Deutschland.
That one went over really well. I had a lot of positive response to that episode.
I can see so, you know, because when we had the idea and started doing it, like the research, sometimes, you know, it really becomes something awesome for me, and I'm sure for you too, to be able to do the research and discover so much that you didn't know.
Yeah.
And then feel like, wow, you know, I'm on to something new here that I've never been able to really enjoy before, but now it's like the door's wide open.
Yeah, I wasn't. And honestly, I mean, I was kind of ho-hum about the subject until I dug in and started doing research.
Tear down the wall.
Because I was like, okay, accept Scorpions. All
right. Right.
Let's do it. And then I started getting into it and then started discovering. And then the big takeaway that some people had as well as me was Ed Guy.
Yeah.
It was just like, holy shit.
Very cool. I've seen a lot of people on Facebook, on our Facebook deal, you know, talking about Ed Guy and how much they dug that.
I've already bought 2 CDs. They're on the way.
Right on.
So, yeah. I'm going to be broke
soon.
And
you did that through the Amazon link,
right? Of
course.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, of course. www.decibelgeek.com. If you're doing any shopping on Amazon, go through that link on our website, and we'll keep the shows going. That's basically how it goes. So I guess before we get into what we're doing today, which is the return of the Radio Sucks Radio Show.
Volume 19.
Wow, man. That's always a good go-to, you know, for when it's like, you got a subject? No, you know, let's just pick some damn good music and play it. Why? Because radio isn't, and we can.
Yeah, that's stuff that we're listening to right now, and we think you should too.
Heck yeah. So before we get to that, I guess I'll go ahead and do the rundown of
Please.
Geeks of the Week this week. I don't know if you could handle it.
No.
You pass out by the
I'll
time
be out
you
of
were
breath
done.
After the third name.
All right, so here we go. Geeks of the Week. These are people that shared the link on Facebook or retweeted on Twitter or told their neighbors about it or whatever they did to get themselves this prestigious honor. And the list goes like this. Number one, we got Chris Karam. Hey, my homeboy from Wisconsin, Cal Hintz, is on there. Scott Ollinger, Derek Novak, Joe Lescon, David Alpizar. He just did a really cool article on White Lion on Mike Tramp on the website. Miguel Nunez, Sit and Spin with Joe, Gino Ames, my man, Brad Kelmanson. A lot of good friends on here. Look, there's Wally Norton, Billy Hardaway, Shane Hebert, Lee Maslin of the Audio Junkies podcast, Matt Siverson of the Paperback Rocker podcast. Love that guy. Brent Walter, we got Warren Money, the man from Down Under. Do you know that Warren Money, for his job, it's his job to tell people how to download a podcast off of iTunes?
Really?
In Australia. And you know who he uses as an example for these people?
Us?
The Decibel Geek Podcast. Isn't that awesome?
That works.
Warren Money, my man. We got Todd Cunningham on there, Howard Tate, Rodney Dixon, JTB's Groovy Record Room. Love that guy and that store. Chad Pollock, Trevor McDougal, Riff of the Day, Scott Webb, Robert. Is it just Robert?
Just Robert. It's Twitter.
It's just Robert. Jason Wood, the Viking Girl is back. I Am Hoops, the Nashville Metal Bands, every one of them.
Well, they represent Nashville Metal
Bands. Awesome. Every Nashville metal
band. Run by
band.
A really cool guy named Ray LeGrand, who's a good singer.
Awesome. Good deal. And wrapping things up with the evil Dr. Abner Devereaux.
Yeah,
he was a doctor, right?
I don't know if he was a doctor.
He was a scientist.
I know his office is located beneath the Sky Tower. You mean underground? Yeah. Way underground. That's where he retweeted it from.
Excellent. And so our begging and pleading last week must have paid off, because we also got some donations sent our way through the official website at decibelgeek.com. And we want to send a special thank you out to Louis Dimovsky.
Dimovsky.
I think I nailed that.
You did.
And Tim Harrigan. You know, that really means a lot to us, because, yes, you know, this ain't free what we're doing, but we give it to you guys for free. So when you tip us, we feel the love.
Yeah.
And we put that money right back into the show, well, so that we can keep things rocking here.
This week I used some of it to buy Mucinex.
Well, that's understandable.
Yeah.
That's so okay.
You guys were our doctor this week. Thank you so much. I'm not. This is not a gag. I really am sick.
He really is. I'm sliding back further and further. Every snot and snotlier over there. And
I haven't talked to. I haven't talked to any. Touched anybody from Africa lately.
So. Good.
Yeah.
Well.
All right. So we got to get on with the show.
So okay, we're doing the Radio Sucks Radio Show. You guys know the premise by now. Basically, this is when we just hang out and we're gonna pick some kick-ass rock and roll for you today. Some stuff you've heard of, some things you maybe haven't heard of. You know, I'm gonna hear a couple of bands for the first time today with some of Chris's picks. Yeah. Basically, all it is it's all kick-ass rock and roll. It's all very cool. They're not playing it at your local rock radio stations. They suck. We don't. We're the Decibel Geek Podcast, and this is the Radio Sucks Radio Show. So let me turn it over right now to my favorite rock and roll DJ, Mr. Chris Sinzak.
Okay, so for my first pick, we've already played something, I think maybe even two songs off this record, but this was a great record that came out, I guess it was earlier this year, Winger's album Better Days Coming.
Yeah, and I think with this, the best thing to do is put away your images in your head of the centerfolds from Metal Edge and Hip Parader of Kip Winger with his suspenders and, yeah, and looking sexy man, you know. Ladies love that
guy. You
have
a very detailed memory of what Kip Winger looked like back in those days.
Well, he was in every magazine, for crying out loud, you know. I mean, they're looking for some Kiss stuff, and there's, bam, there's Kip Winger looking hot and sexy.
Yeah, between Jerry Miller's pages asking what's your favorite color and what's your favorite dessert and shit like that. I loved Metal Edge, but good Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
some of them were pretty good, like his favorite scary movies and stuff
that
like
was that.
Yeah, that
was interesting.
Some, yeah, you get some good response off,
there'd
though.
Be some chicky type stuff. It was like, we don't need to hear all that. But, yeah, they put out their sixth studio album. It was released back in April. Peaked at 85 on Billboard. This song was written by Kip and Rev, and the video was filmed right here in Nashville, Tennessee, because most of the band's still located out of here.
Good deal. It's a great place to be.
This is Winger with Queen Babylon.
Ran off the rails of a roller coaster.
heavier winger for you.
Yeah, that's not the winger I remember. I like it, though. It's got that heavy rock and groove to it. Awesome solo. Is that Red Beach on
that? Yeah, Red Beach.
Right on. And, kick ass.
Yeah, it's still a melodic sensibility, but more attitude than some of the older stuff.
I mean, it's definitely Kip Winger. There's no doubt about that. I can see this as being something that satisfies both the hardcore Winger fans and, you know, dudes like us that'd like to hear something a little bit heavier. I always liked Winger, but only certain songs that were a little more crunchy, a little more rocking. And this that last album seems to have a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, I don't think there's any Headed for a Heartbreaks on the new
one. No, definitely wasn't, not from what I heard.
So that's the new Winger. Pick that one up through our Amazon link.
Heck yeah, do it. All right, let's keep on going. It's my turn. I'm an awesome DJ too. I play all kinds of cool rock and roll for you. Here's a band that I've loved ever since they first came out back in 1992. These guys are a real Wisconsin favorite. That's probably why I love them so much. This song originally appeared on 1996's Night of the Living Dead live album, but it was such a cool song. You know, I'm talking about the band Jackal, by the way.
Right.
You know, it was such a cool song, but it only came out on that live album, and so there was never a studio album version of it until 2010 when Jackal came out with When Moonshine and Dynamite Collide, and now it's available as a studio track as well. And I just wanted to pick it because, one, Jackal kicks ass, and two, this is an awesome song, and it's awesome to hear the studio version of it. So right here on the Decibel Geek podcast for you, rock and roll, it's Jackal with Deeper in Darkness.
I keep believing my world is turning faster.
that song just cooks. I love it.
Very prominent bass guitar in that. Yeah. The mix there. It's, it thumps along really good.
I like it a lot. Jackal currently tearing their way across America. They got dates upcoming in the next month or so in Texas, Illinois, and, of course, back in Wisconsin. I think they got three dates up there and a whole bunch of places in between. You want to keep up with them, check them out at www.rockmerollmejackalmeoff.com.
That's their website.
Yeah, otherwise just, you know, Google Jackal. It'll bring up official Jackal. Easier, but that's the... Yeah, that's their website, and it's got their tour dates, and they're out there, man. They're killing it all the time, still, every night.
Still hugely popular in the Midwest.
Heck yeah, still, man.
They love them out there.
We like them here in the South, too, if they come around a little more often. They're from down here.
Yeah, they don't play here much.
Strange how they're from Georgia, but you never, hardly ever catch them in Nashville or anywhere down here. They're always, they're hogging them up north.
Well, I'm going to play a band next that's also from the South, but they're about as opposite of Jackal as you can get.
Yeah? Oh, no.
Yeah, it's
that don't sound good.
They're fronted by a female singer, and there's no chainsaws to be found anywhere.
Oh, man. So, I don't know if I'm going to like this then.
They're still really good, though. And there's a wrestling tie-in to this band, too.
Okay, all right. You're bringing me back.
This is a band called Fit for Rivals, and it's off an album called Steady Damage, which was their debut album, and it came out in 2009. So, you know, it only took me 5 years to discover this band.
That's the way it goes sometimes.
Yeah. They're from Jacksonville, Florida, and the follow-up album, which is going to be called Freak Machine, is set out for a 2015 release. So it's a long break between albums. I know they tour pretty regularly. So this song that I'm going to play was the official theme song for the 2010 WWE Over the Limit pay-per-view.
Okay, right on. I've probably heard it before then, I bet.
So this is Fit for Rivals with Crash. Jump into a ring.
Heck yeah. If it's good enough for Vince McMahon, it's good enough for me.
I like that band. That's pretty good. I'm going to check out more of their stuff. So,
pretty awesome.
Stumbled upon them just searching through the interwebs.
Right, man. That's the way it goes sometimes. That's the blessing of doing this show for us as much as it is for the listeners, because we're all discovering kick-ass new rock and roll together. Here's one I'm sure you already know. I mean, just lately, there's been a whole lot of talk about, you know, like last year, Tom Kiefer came out with The Way Life Goes, his solo album that was really kick-ass awesome, and everybody was digging on that.
Yeah.
You know, and then just recently, Jeff LaBar came out with One for the Road, his new solo album, and that's, I was listening to some of that the other day. That's really cool, too. Then you got Eric Brittenham, you know, he's out there with the Devil City Angels. They're on tour now. They're all over the place. You can check them out at thedevilcityangels.com. Check out your tour dates with them. Metal Mike went and seen them, said the show was awesome.
The show was, sure.
Didn't have too much of a good time at the meet and greet.
No,
but,
that's
you know,
a different story.
He said the show was awesome. Show was awesome. That's what really truly matters, I suppose. And so I was checking this out, and I thought, well, geez, I wonder what Fred Curry's up to. And I look up, I put in Fred Curry on iTunes, and it brings up this album. It's like an EP,
yeah.
But it's songs for and about the L.A. Kings hockey team.
Hmm.
And I don't know, but I'm guessing it is because, like, the L.A. Kings theme song is awesome. It's got, like, rock and guitar and kick-ass drums to it, so I'm assuming it's Fred Curry from Cinderella.
Huh. Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of those guys, that's how they make their living now, is doing licensing, you know, music out for commercials, for TV, movies,
yeah,
all that stuff.
Sure.
So that's where the money is these days.
Right?
Because you fuckers aren't buying albums, that's why. I'm sick, I'm tired.
Fred Curry's mad because they're donating all their money to podcasts. What the hell's going on?
Well, that was, or just go through the Amazon link and buy the album, guys.
But if you're going to iTunes, check that out. Check it out.
I will. I have to hear what the L.A. Kings theme song sounds like.
You might become an L.A. Kings fan. I don't even like hockey that
much. I have no clue what's going on in hockey, so I couldn't tell you. One of these days I'll learn.
Somebody says, what do you know about hockey? I know I like the L.A. Kings theme song.
Yeah, and the fighting.
But, you know, the reason behind me looking into all this stuff was because I'm really thinking about how cool it would be to have a new Cinderella album.
You know, both.
Seems like these guys are all pretty busy doing their own thing, but I don't know, it'd be pretty cool. So it got me thinking, and it got me listening to some Cinderella, and I wanted to go way back to 1986 on their debut album, Night Songs. This is a pretty rocking song, and it makes me remember why I really like Cinderella. Still to this day, you're going to enjoy it too. Right here on the Decibel Geek Podcast, like I said, the one and only Cinderella with Nothing for Nothing.
Yeah.
Heck yeah, man. You know, and I wouldn't expect the new Cinderella music to sound like night songs or anything, but, you know, I'd enjoy hearing the band produce some new music, you know, together again, because, you know, when these four guys get together, it kicks ass.
Yeah, I think, you know, of all the bands from that 80s era, I think them and Stryper, because Stryper's already proven they can put a great album
out. Yeah.
I think Cinderella could definitely put something of high quality out today.
Yeah.
Because Tom Kiefer's doing it, Jeff LaBar's doing it.
Sure, they're all doing
they're all
it
still
on
good
in their
players.
Own right.
Yeah, so I think they would put
especially
together a great
if you're
album.
An LA Kings fan.
You're really stuck on this LA Kings thing.
It blew my mind a little bit.
That's cool. Yeah, and I had Night Songs. I used to have a t-shirt with that album cover on
yeah.
it.
Yeah, I had that on LP when
Did
I was
you?
A kid.
I
yeah.
don't know, I think I had it on cassette. But
they were like brand new. Somebody gave it to me for Christmas. It was like, this is amazing.
That album and Long Cold Winter got tons of airplay. Tons of play at my house.
Yeah, so, same here.
Love that stuff. All right. So why don't we go from Cinderella, which are kind of considered originators, to my next pick, which were kind of considered Cinderella impersonators to a point.
Right. But,
I think they got short shrifted on that, too, though.
Yeah, a little bit, I think.
Brittany Fox definitely had the Cinderella look going for them.
Sure. But they were all from the same place, right?
I think they're all from the Philadelphia area.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're all New England
Cinderella
guys.
Cinderella debuted, and then like 3 or 4 years later, Brittany Fox debuted.
Yeah.
So they're like the, you know. We need more bands like this.
But yeah, Britt, you know, Dizzy Dean Davidson was really going for the Tom Kiefer look and vocal sound. And
right.
Because it worked for Cinderella. Why not try it out?
Sure. And you got to remember back then, this was like when the new waves were coming through, you know, because then you had your originals, your Motley Crue, your Cinderellas, guys like that. And then you had, you know, like I said, we need more bands like this. Go find us more.
Right.
And here's these guys that, you know, came from the same place, Cinderella, were very similar to Cinderella in look and in sound.
Yeah.
You know, but
not
still
that's a bad thing.
Came out. Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, you could emulate a lot worse bands.
The only thing that sucks is, you know, they had good material on the first two albums, and then Dean Davidson leaves the band.
But even at that album, that Bite Down Hard,
yeah.
that they came out with after he left, it's got Zakk Wylde does some work on it.
I've never heard that album.
It's you really owe it to yourself to check that one out, because I think that way got overlooked because Dean Davidson left the band.
Oh, yeah, everybody's like that was the
and
guy.
And figured that was the end of it,
yeah.
but then they got a different dude, and that album's really good in its own right.
Well, he went on to do Black Eyed Susan, which was good stuff, too.
Yeah, I never checked any of that out.
I had that, but this is from the second album, Boys in Heat, and it debuted at 79 on Billboard. Released in December of 1989, so we're at the very end of the hair metal era.
Yeah.
And this is a cool song. This is Brittany Fox with a song called Angel in My Heart.
Stay
So you can clearly hear the influence on grunge music that would come later.
That's when Britney Fox went grunge, huh?
You know I'm sick if I'm making that kind of claim.
Yeah, no kidding.
Smells like Britney Fox. Yeah, that I like the song though. I like that era of rock.
That's pretty good. You know, they always kind of had a bad jive because they were kind of Cinderella, you know, in
clones.
Yeah. Go ahead and say yeah, clones. You're sick. You ain't afraid to say it.
Still a cool song.
You know, yeah, but they had some pretty cool stuff in their own right, and that's not bad there at all.
Oh, I like it. So what do you got next?
Oh, man, you're over there. You're looking like hell. You're feeling like hell. I feel like I picked a bad day to do this, but it's once again time for me to play one of my favorite games. Let's make Chris like Gilby Clark. It's one of my favorite games. You're over there looking like hell. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it today.
Oh, jeez.
But here's the deal. Just hear me out on this. You know, obviously, we all know Gilby Clark is most well known for his 3-year stint in Guns N' Roses as a replacement for Izzy Stradlin.
Yeah.
That's about as far as most people go with the guy. Poor guy.
Gilby Stradlin.
You know? No. What actually is the deal is that Gilby Clark was around for a long time before Guns N' Roses and did a bunch of cool stuff after Guns N' Roses, other than that little 3 years he spent in the band.
You got me into the Pawn Shop Guitars album.
That's a really good album.
I do like that one.
So I just want to give you a quick rundown, just like the condensed version of the history of Gilby Clark right here, and then I'm going to give you something to once again try to sway you over to make you understand how awesome Gilby Clark is as a solo artist.
You guys don't know, Aaron Camaro is the president of the Gilby Clark fan club.
It's kind of become that way, but it's just my obsession now. I must turn you into a Gilby Clark fan. So, you know, like you said, for 3 years he was in Guns N' Roses, but before that, back in 85, he was in a band called Candy. They were like a pop rock band. You're over there yawning already. This ain't even...
I'm sick, man. Give me a break.
Jeez. Candy opened up for Corey Hart and Rick Springfield. Pay attention.
That's a good thing.
You know, so they started out, they were like a real pop rock band. So Gilly Clark leaves that band and wants to form something heavier, so he forms Kill for Thrills, which I don't know. A lot of people probably haven't heard those albums.
We played something off
there. Yeah, they're freaking awesome, man. In that band with him was Jason Nesmith, son of Michael Nesmith from the Monkees. Yep. And also Todd Muscat from the brother of Brent from Faster Pussycat.
Huh.
And they released the Commercial Suicide EP and Dynamite from Nightmareland. Find that. Listen to it. It's awesome.
Uh-huh.
So then he's doing Kill for Thrills. And then 1991, it's announced that Izzy Stradlin's leaving Guns N' Roses. And Gilby Clark is scooped out of his band and put into GNR. So he's there for the Use Your Illusion tour. Of course, along with that, he's on those live concert videos that came out back then. And the live era CDs, the live album. And he plays on the Spaghetti Incident album.
Yep.
But as soon as the tour ends in 1993, Axl Rose wishes Gilby the very best in his future endeavors.
Oh, really?
Without consulting the rest of the band, that becomes kind of a...
He just suddenly said you're gone.
Yeah, that's it. It's over. You know, I hope you enjoyed your last show. See ya.
Good old Axl.
You know, but for some... Here's what's weird, though, because then right after that, for some reason, in 1994, GNR goes right back to work on Gilby Clark's first solo album, Pawn Shop Guitars.
All right.
So you got Pawn Shop Guitars on there is Slash, Duff, Sorum, Dizzy, and even Axl Rose contributes to that album.
Huh.
So why would it be like they're breaking up, but yet, what do we do now? Well, let's go work on the guy that I just fired's a solo album. How does that work?
Maybe he cried and they felt guilty about it.
Something. I doubt that. Why would these guys go work with him on a solo album if he wasn't awesome?
He had a big stash of heroin?
No, I don't think
so.
That's
a joke, folks.
So then from there, figure this. So they're done with the Gilby Clark solo album, so where do they go from there? Slash, Gilby, Sorum, and Dizzy, then move on to the recording of It's 5 o'clock Somewhere with Mike Inez from Ozzy and Alice in Chains on bass and Eric Dover on vocals.
I've never heard of any of this.
You're a liar.
What?
Slash, Snake Pit.
Oh, okay. I thought you were calling...
You are out of it.
I am. I thought you were talking about a band called It's 5 O'Clock Somewhere. My brain isn't working.
I picked the wrong day for this.
Yeah.
So then, I'll wrap it up. Since then, Gilby Clark's released 4 full-length studio albums. He's formed the band Colonel Parker with Slim Jim Phantom from the Stray Cats.
Huh.
He's toured as a member of Heart and as a member of the MC5. when they reunited and went on tour. He produced an L.A. Guns album and even starred in Rockstar Supernova. You remember that awesome TV show, don't you? CBS 2005.
That's where I got my joke from.
Tommy Lee, Jason Newsted, Butch Walker.
It's a show where three musical legends and Gilby Clark try to form a band.
That's bullshit. That's bullshit.
They were calling all four of them musical legends. Now, the only three of them you could actually even come close to making that statement.
Well,
Gilby Clark was not a musical legend.
I wouldn't call him a musical legend.
He's a good guitar player.
Right, yeah. Great songwriter, good guitar player. Yeah. But, you know, it's a TV show. They're
just
hyping
irritated.
It
wasn't even his fault. It was whoever decided to write it that way.
Exactly. They're
trying
to
give me a break.
Anybody that knew better, you know. He's awesome. He's done a lot of great things. I wouldn't call him, you know, the next Keith Richards or.
No, but it's also
on the level of like Tommy Lee, Motley Crue. We're talking Motley Crue and Metallica.
Yeah, it's also the project that sprung forth with Lucas Rossi.
Well, yeah.
And I'll never forgive them for that shit.
That's crazy how that works. Luke Rossi wins and somehow the fans lose.
I saw him at the Queensryche show last year.
Really?
Yeah, he lives here.
Really?
Everyone fucking lives here. It's crazy.
I guess.
But yeah, I saw him and
I just could never understand.
Billy Hardaway was with me and he was like,
I thought you were going to say he was with him.
No, he was with me. And we're like, hey, there's Lucas Rossi. And Billy's like, you want to go talk to him? I was like, no, we didn't.
Billy was going to say, hey, should we go kick his ass? No, Billy, don't
kick
his ass.
I think we were both in agreement that he sucks. So,
yeah, I mean, you look at the concept of that, of these, you know, great musicians come together. They got a singer that's, you know, doesn't really fit the band, but none of them really fit the band. That Delana, she didn't fit the band.
No.
You know, and they go out into the studio and you figure, okay, well, these three guys that are so kick-ass together are going to be able to pull this off somehow. The album comes out. It sucks, man. I was so disappointed with it. So disappointed. But
wow, we're having a full-on discussion.
Okay, well, from there, Gilby Clark goes on. He does the Guns N' Roses Hall of Fame performance.
Yeah.
No Axl, but he's there with Slash and Duff and Adler,
cool.
Sorum and Miles Kennedy singing in 2012. And even though Gilby Clark wasn't inducted as a member of Guns N' Roses, he never once bitched about it.
No, and by all accounts that I've heard, he's a good, good guy.
Well,
so,
there you go. Yeah. So to once again try to get you to like Gilby Clark, I offer you this. From his solo album in 2002, the album's called Swag, the song's called Alien, here's Gilby Clark.
Can't watch my television, ain't enough science fiction, I'm scuzzy out of my head. Everything, the static's deafening. All wired up for the end. Am I on top of the world? I'm crashing down. Shipwrecks my future home. Synthesized and traumatized, a disaster amplified. My star burned out of control. Am I on top of the world? I'm crashing down on. Down on you.
okay, you're swaying me a little bit.
Okay, we're getting there. We're getting closer.
He needs to put out his own line of action figures and condoms, and then I'll be on board.
And M&M's and caskets and toilet paper.
Well, yeah, let's not go
condoms.
Crazy now.
Gilby Clark condoms?
Yeah. Hello, Gilby, instead of Hello Kitty.
Oh, my, no. No.
No, it's not bad. It's more fun to continue the joke and say I hated it, but I'm not going to.
Well, it's more fun to have an excuse to keep playing Gilby Clark to try to sway you over to the rock
I'm
and
getting,
roll side.
I'm getting there. I'm getting there.
All right, cool. Good deal.
Yeah, I don't hate him. He's still not a musical legend, though.
No.
But, okay, so, you know, and this is the next song is a tie-in to last week's Rocktoberfest episode. Because, of course, you know, a lot of people said, you know, can't believe you didn't play this and that and this
and
that.
Yeah, that happens every time. And it happens to us, too. As soon as we turn in our list, I say, well, I should have maybe, could have done. No, I mean, I wanted to play Bonfire and I missed out on that. I was going to play Sword and Stone.
I was going to play Primal Fear. Yeah.
Yeah.
But this is one band that at least three people came back and said, hey, you should play this. And
at least we discussed them.
Yeah, we did.
And played them in various forms.
Yeah. This is a newer band called Unisonic, and I'm not a big fan of that name, but they're a German rock metal band. The main drawing thing for them is it features Michael Kiske on vocals and Kai Hansen.
The godfather of power metal.
Yeah, both from Helloween.
Yeah.
So you've got real credentials here for this band.
I had read that Unisonic had toured with Helloween. How strange.
A double duty, maybe? I don't
know.
Well, like I said,
they'd be like Peter Criss and Ace Frehley forming a band and then going on tour with Kiss. It'd be strange.
I'd buy a ticket.
I would, too. So I guess that worked for those guys.
Yeah, this is the first full studio collaboration between Kiske and Hansen since Helloween's Keeper of the Seven Keys Parts 1 and 2.
Awesome albums.
So, you know, go back a ways. And they're currently touring with Ed Guy.
That's cool. Let's go.
How awesome would that be?
Coming to Nashville? Let's go right now.
You got to buy a plane ticket to go see that.
Oh, man.
Never play the States, hardly. So this, I checked a few songs. There was a lot of songs of theirs I wanted to play, but this one kind of stuck out for me. This is Unisonic with a song called For the Kingdom.
Like, ah!
like it. I like it a lot.
Some German power metal.
Heck yeah. See, what is it going on? See, all this time I thought I didn't really like power metal. Like the power metal bands I heard, I didn't like. But right. Since we did Rocktoberfest, it's like I like power metal. So is it maybe just for me, is it just German power metal?
I don't know.
If you're a power metal band from Switzerland or Denmark or the UK, it's no good. But if you're German power metal, it's all right.
I think one of our contributors, I think it was Louis, the one of the contributors to the donation fund today, said something like, he said something, actually, hang on a second, I'll look it up. We're kind of flying by the seat of our pants today.
It's all right. It's Radio Sucks Radio Show.
He said, this is for finally getting around to playing some European hard rock and metal. I greatly enjoy your podcast, and I'm greatly appreciate all the hard work you put in to entertain me for free. More to come after you do your Scandinavian melodic rock episode.
Okay.
So we have to do another themed episode.
We talked about doing something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's coming.
I'll have to look up the Scandinavian ones, but yeah, we'll have to do that. So, you know, we'll start looking more into Europe than we have before.
Yeah. So, I like it a lot.
So now some of you guys are yelling at your iPod going, finally.
Well, yeah, and then there were some people last week that were bitching and said, you know, how can you do Rocktoberfest without Rammstein?
Yeah,
but you know what?
Running.
I'll take Unisonic over Rammstein any day.
I like some of the Rammstein stuff, but it was just like, I couldn't resist doing the Doro track.
Yeah,
that's what beat it out for me. All right, so you got the next
one. All right, so we're still doing the Radio Sucks Radio Show. We're playing songs that you're not hearing on your local rock radio stations. Why? Because they're controlled by corporate entities that give them a list, and they say these are the songs that you must play because these are the new bands that we're trying to make money off of. We, here at the Decibel Geek Podcast, other than our donations and selling a few T-shirts and people going through the Amazon link on our website, we ain't making no money. So, therefore, we play what we want. That's a beautiful thing, though, you know, to have the freedom to play the kick-ass rock and roll that these people deserve to hear. So it wasn't too long ago that I got some really, really good news. It's been announced that Faith No More is going to release their first new album in over 18 years.
Wow.
Has it been 18 years?
Yeah, I guess it has.
That's crazy. It doesn't seem like it. So Faith No More, they reunited in 2009, which was exciting as hell, but they were just doing some live concerts and things, and they haven't played. We are flying by the seat of our pants today. The last show they played was in 1998, so 2009, you know, that's like 11 years since the last time they played, and they reunited, you know, and so I'm really excited about this new Faith No More album coming out. It's been a long time. Faith No More was a band that I always dug a lot. I remember when Faith No More came out and there was like the grunge scene was kind of coming up and everything, but these guys were so much different from everything else out there, but still they kicked ass and they were a good rock band, but they were different and new and in their own kind of, they almost have their own genre of music, but I don't
original.
Know what to call it.
I don't either.
That's a good thing, I think.
Just call it Faith No More.
So, I got one for you, some Faith No More from their final album. Well, it used to be, could have been their final album, and it features the same lineup they have right here today. So, from 1997's Album of the Year, here's Faith No More with Ashes to Ashes.
I want them to know it's me. It's on my
That's pretty awesome. You can't go wrong with Faith No More. I'm really excited that they're back and going to record some new music. It should be cool. Were you a big Faith No More fan?
I liked them. I wouldn't say I was a huge fan. I had the Angel Dust album, and I was really big into that one. And I love their cover of Easy.
Yeah.
It's just a cool track.
That's kind of become, over the years, like their biggest hit single, even though it wasn't even like a single release at the time.
No, and I love the song they did for the Bill and Ted 2 soundtrack.
Yeah, that's an amazing song. Yeah. See, that's one thing I'm kind of torn on because it's been a good many years since Big Jim Martin left the band, you know, and Jim Martin's known as the guy with the long curly hair and the red rim glasses and all that, you know, a really great guitar player. And, you know, I'm happy that they're back.
Yeah.
I'm happy that they're putting out new music, but I still miss that guy because he brought more of like a hard rock sensibility to the guitar. He had that good distortion to every single song.
I think he's a pumpkin farmer now, or at least he was.
Yeah, like a competition, like growing the big ones.
Right.
The bad boys.
I don't...
He's busy this time of year, October, growing some giant pumpkins.
Yeah.
That's cool, you know, get in, make your money, go live the good life and kick back and relax. But Faith No More, you know, they got that lineup that they ended with back in 1997 is back and got that new album almost together. It's supposed to be coming out in early next year. Yeah. I'm stoked.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Okay, so I've got one more pick to go. And, this is a band that actually Chad Lee turned us on to.
Chad Lee told us about it.
Yeah, and a few other people have too.
Yeah, Nick Cantonese mentioned them.
Yeah, and so like they're kind of they're making waves now. They're the talk of a lot of people these days.
Chad Lee says it's cool. It's got to be cool.
So it's a band called Crobot.
I trust that guy.
And
it's okay.
It's a podcast. It's all right. They're called Crobot. They're formed in 2011 in Pottsville, Pennsylvania, which is where Yingling Beer is brewed. Signed to Wind Up Records, and this is off an album that's going to come out later this month called Something Supernatural. And they have a bit of a hipster type look to them, but they kick ass.
Okay,
they got the beards and the old school clothing and everything.
I've been meaning to check these guys out today, right here on the Radio Sucks Radio Show. I'll get the chance as well as everybody else.
So here's your chance. This is Crobot with Legend of the Spaceborne Killer.
Happen? How far off? How baby? You're well, I don't know.
verdict?
I think it's pretty cool. I like it.
Yeah.
It's got that, you know, what did they call that? Stoner metal? Doom metal?
Stoner metal, yeah.
It's got that Sabbath-y kind of clutch, kind of.
Orange Goblin.
Orange Goblin. A little bit of Rush mixed in there, I think. Yeah. Yeah.
Old, kind of an old throwback type sound.
That's why everybody's been digging it. You know, they've been telling us about it, and now
yeah.
we know.
So, yeah. Let us know what you think of Crowbot. Send
Heck, yeah.
So that's my last pick for the show.
All right. And, you know, while you're letting us know what you think about Crowbot, you know, sometimes you want to get on online, you want to purchase some music. You know, we're turning you on to all kinds of cool stuff today. You know, Unisonic, Faith No More, Crowbot, Gilby Clark, all the great bands that we've played today. You know.
Musical legends.
Musical legends right here on the Despicable Geek Podcast. But when you're buying these albums, because, of course, obviously we're doing this for a reason. We want to support these artists because if we don't support these artists, then they go away. And when they go away, there's no more rock and roll, and then life sucks, and we all kill ourselves. And, you know, it could get bad. It could get real bad real fast. So we support these artists so the rock and roll don't go away. The best way to do that, well, if you're going on iTunes, because I know a lot of people like to get the digital downloads,
right.
You know, if you're doing that, take the time to swing by the Decibel Geek Podcast page there on iTunes and leave us a good review.
Please.
That means a lot
to
us.
We haven't had a review in a long time. Come on.
Has it been a while?
And a lot more of you listen to the show than the amount of reviews that are on there, so please. Just go on iTunes and give us a review.
So, like, the listenership number is up here, and the iTunes reviews is way down here.
Like, we have, a little over 100, and that's good, but there's a lot more of y'all than 100 that listen to the show. So, come on, get on there and help us out.
The reviews that are on there are really good. I love to read them.
I just welcomed a bunch of people going on there. These guys fucking suck.
Bunch of assholes always trying to get us to leave iTunes reviews.
One dude's got noses all stopped up, and he's sick on the mic and everything. And fuck these guys.
Trying to get the other guy sick. What kind of show is this?
I know, it's an Ebola hour. What the hell?
Oh, man. Terrible. Yeah. So if you're not going to iTunes, then that tells me you're going to Amazon.com. So if you're going to Amazon.com, the best way to get there is to go through the Decibel Geek website. You go to the website, there's going to be a little link there. You're going to be distracted because there's a bunch of kick-ass articles written by a bunch of people from all over the world that have a great perspective on what's going on in rock and roll right here in 2014. The best way to keep up with that, well, you're already there. It's the Decibel Geek website. So while you're there, hold off for a minute. You can go back and read those articles. They're going to be there when you get back. What you need to do is hit that Amazon link right there. Go to Amazon. Buy whatever you're going to buy. Buy the Gilby Clark album. Buy all of them. I'm telling you, they're good. Find that Kill for Thrills. Yes. That's what you need to do.
Buy Gilby Clark a new guitar.
Get some Unisonic.
Yeah.
Why does he need a new guitar?
Because it costs a lot of money and we'll get a bigger kickback.
Oh, there you go.
I'm not making fun of his financial state.
Oh, I thought you said buy one for him.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Oh.
Buy a guitar and give it to Gilby Clark.
And then get yourself one, too.
Yeah, and then buy yourself one. Buy me a guitar.
Buy everybody a guitar that you know. Buy a yacht. Buy a boat. Buy a truck.
Buy an aircraft carrier. There's got to be one on Amazon. There's every other thing on there.
All of a sudden, it'd be like, whoa, we're good to go for the next year. All the episodes are paid for. Instead of creeping up on the deadline, it's like, uh-oh, we're getting close. There may not be any more Decibel Geek Podcast, but you can support the show and make sure that we never get to that date. We've come close.
Yeah, we have.
We've come real close to the point where we say we've done this for so many years. You know, 3 years now, it seems like.
Yeah, going on four.
Going on four. And we've always provided it for free, and we've always done everything we could do to you know, kick in our own money and, you know, sell T-shirts and do whatever we could do to earn the money to keep this show going for free. And it's come really, really close here lately where there may not be any more Decibel Geek Podcast, but we hang on. And through the donations of, like, the people that we mentioned earlier in the show that made the donations to the show and people buying the T-shirts and going through the Amazon link and, you know, even leaving iTunes reviews. Maybe someday somebody will read that review and be like, I need to pay these guys.
It keeps us inspired to keep going.
That's right. And it keeps the torch burning. Right here in the studio so that we can do this week after week. So
we do what the Killer Dwarfs tell us. We keep the spirit alive.
We damn sure do.
I want to give the Dwarfs a plug.
And they're proud of us for it, too.
Yeah,
I know it.
Love those guys.
So before we wrap things up today, I think it's time to make a pretty big announcement. You know, we started something a while back called Albums Unleashed. And the idea behind it was to be able to sit down with somebody on a particular album that we really enjoyed or really in thought that the people needed to hear about and learn more about. And we We did that with Dick Wagner for the Dot Eye album.
Yeah.
As amazing as that was, you know, and it was right before Dick Wagner passed away, so it made it that much more special.
Yeah.
And basically, the album's Unleashed thing was created for Dick Wagner. So it,
yeah,
it
kind of was.
Going forward, if we're to do this again, it should always be as remembered as a memorial to Dick Wagner every time we do an Albums Unleashed episode. And boy, oh boy, do we have an Albums Unleashed episode lined up for you.
It's going to be a two-parter.
It's so good.
Because it was such
good.
A long interview, and there's so much good stuff, you can't even cut it out.
When we sat down and talked about doing Albums Unleashed, and we kind of created it for Dick Wagner, then we looked at it as, you know, what other albums would we really, really like to do? And how could we have the opportunity to do so? And I know I've got a list of like five that would just, I would love to be able to do. And I know you probably got a list yourself of like dream ones. And this was one that is both on of both our of our lists that we would have loved to sit down and do this Albums Unleashed, and we had the opportunity to do it, and we spent about 3 hours with John Corabi, and we talked about the 1994 Motley Crue album.
Right.
And so, therefore, that's what you're going to have coming up the next 2 weeks is an exclusive with John Corabi going in-depth and personal about that album.
Yeah.
I mean, blew my mind how in-depth and personal we really got.
Aaron and I both are huge fans of that album.
As we know, a lot of you are,
and
too.
And kind of thought I knew everything there was, and I figured it'd be a lot of rehash of stories I had already heard from The Dirt and whatnot. There's a lot of stuff that he said that I'd never heard before. So I'm excited to share it with you guys.
Me, too. Yeah. And it was an amazing experience. You got to thank Dave, you know, Dave Stonich for helping us. How cool is that guy?
Super cool guy. And we after John was done with us, we sat around with him and talked rock and metal. And I mean, he's a listener of the show. That's how this all got hooked up.
Right.
He's liked the show for a long time, and he hangs out with John Corabi all the time.
Yeah.
And was like, and I've been trying to get this lined up for years now, literally.
This really has been. I mean, because like
in the
we
week.
Said, John Corabi lives in Nashville.
Yeah.
We're here just outside of Nashville.
Right.
And, you know, we do a lot of stuff within the community here in Nashville. Mostly drink beers and listen to rock and roll, but it's within the community.
And stuff for probation and stuff like that. Picking up trash on the side of the road and all that stuff. No, we're not. But no, we've had near misses with John over the years, and then earlier this year I went and saw him play at a club called the Mercy Lounge, and
it was awesome.
I got to talk to him backstage, and I just threw it out there. I said, you know, you got to come on our show. And he's like, yeah, I know. And we kind of had a good laugh about it, because every time I see him, like, you got to do our show. Yeah, I know.
Right.
But then I said, well, what if we do just a talk about the Motley 94 album instead of a whole career thing? Because you've done a lot of those.
Right.
And I'm waiting for him to go, oh, fuck you, I don't want to talk about that. But he's like, no, that sounds fine. Let's do it. He's like, it's a 20-year anniversary. Why not?
Heck yeah.
Yeah, the day I talked to him was the actual 20-year anniversary of that album release.
That's right. We were there that night. He had the whole band together. It was the electric version. Played a bunch of songs that album, a bunch of Union and a bunch of Scream.
It was fun.
It was really awesome. So John Corabi's out there now, here and there in your towns. You know, keep track of him, because he'll pop up in your town. He might have his acoustic guitar. He might have his whole band with him. Either way, you got to check him out and see him live.
So next week, you're in.
You guys are in for it next week.
Right,
oh man, so awesome. Some of my favorite stuff that we've ever done interview wise. Very cool.
So
I figure the best way to end the show this week on the Radio Sucks Radio Show. So here's something that if your local radio station is playing this, you are a very lucky person and you have a very cool local radio station. Mine's not, and they should. And I'm guessing 9 times out of 10, yours isn't either, and they should. So wrapping up the show today, we're going to be spending a lot of time with this guy the next 2 weeks, and you are going to love it. I'm telling you, you're going to love it. So wrapping things up today on the Decibel Geek Podcast, Radio Sucks Radio Show. What volume is it?
19.
Holy shit. We're going to close things out today from 2012's Unplugged album. You got to check out the groove and the way he's made this fit into an acoustic format, because it is amazing. Here's John Corabi with Hooligan's Holiday. And all three of us, I guess, we'll see you next week.
Yeah, see you next week.
That's right. piece of the pie. Can't have mine. I'm on a holiday. Hooligan's holiday.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's fantasypoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. Fantasypoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.